Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Joe, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. It's Friday morning. We're going to talk to our buddy, Mike Florio, from ProFootballTalk.com. Mike, less than 2 weeks before the NFL draft. Let the smoke screens and the lies commence around the NFL right now.
Well, I mean, the smokescreen's been going on for a while, but I agree with you. It's only going to get worse. There's real strategic benefit for the teams involved to keep their mouths shut, keep their options open, keep everyone guessing. It's also part of the ultimate reality show. The league doesn't want us to know who the picks are going to be. That's part of why we tune in. We already know who the first two are going to be. I think the league likes it very much that we don't know what the 49ers are going to do. We definitely don't know what the Falcons are going to do, and then it all goes from there.
By the way, you know what's amazing? And we started the show today talking about this. The biggest mystery of the NFL, how come so many teams miss on first-round quarterbacks when they take them? Five guys going to first round, you're almost guaranteed one or two, Mike, will not work out. After all the money spent, all the evaluation, pro days, comp, all the stuff, and yet somebody in this class in those top five will not work out. At least one won't work out. How do you explain that, Mike?
Well, look at 2018, five quarterbacks taken. Josh Rosen, now a backup in San Francisco. Sam Darnold, dumped by the Jets. Ooh. Josh Allen, star. Lamar Jackson, star. Baker Mayfield, who really knows where he's going to end up? He's had good years. He's had bad years, or at least one bad year in 2019. Joe, I think that it becomes more glaring as analytics and formulas, and there's a number for everything. There's a method for everything. I think it becomes harder for people to understand why teams miss. And part of it, too, is every year in the run-up to the draft, the analysts never point out, hey, you know what? Half these guys are going to suck. Whether it's quarterback or any other position, they don't do it.
That is true.
But it's true. And here's what I've always been led to believe by people who do it for a living. And I don't think it's excuse-making. I think it's true. There's a ceiling above the head of every player from what he did in college to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And no one knows where that ceiling is because it doesn't get tested until you get to the NFL and you're facing the best competition in the world. Some guys bust through the ceiling and make it to the Hall of Fame, make it to Pro Bowls, whatever. Other guys just can't cut it, and they're out of the league, and that's just the way it works.
Mike, are we going to see a trend in the next couple of years, at least coming up, like the Dwayne Haskins trend, I like to call it now, where maybe a year or two into it, you just give up on the guy because it's not that much money like it used to be? Because I still think that's kind of the unicorn thing. Dwayne Haskins not on the Redskins anymore, and he wasn't drafted 5 years ago. He was just drafted in 2019. Could that be possibly – could that happen more often now with those contracts in the first round?
Well, it's a lot easier. You're not making the financial investment that you used to prior to 2011. I think also it's the way the planets lined up for the Washington football team, where there was a new regime there other than the folks who drafted Dwayne Haskins. There were issues unrelated to football where they felt like they needed to underscore the reality that they're trying for a new culture in Washington. But You know, and, hey, I'm a firm believer that if you made a mistake and you know you made a mistake, the worst thing you can do is double down on it to save face. You move on. And that's what they did. And, you know, a lot of people criticized Washington for cutting him because, oh, why'd you take him at 15 overall? The guy was going to be a first rounder, even if he wasn't taken at 15. It's not like they took a guy that was generally regarded as a seventh round pick. So, you know, it happens. It's part of the process. And once you know that he's not the guy, you move on. Now, the other side of the coin, Dwayne Haskins in Pittsburgh with no pressure, no expectations, still a young guy. Brain keeps growing until you're 25. More mature, learn from what happened. Mike Tomlin, very good getting the best out of players. He's one of the most respected coaches in the league when it comes to that. Wouldn't it be something if Haskins ends up, after being thrown overboard by Washington, ends up becoming the guy that we thought he was going to be as a member of the Steelers? It's not impossible, and it's not unprecedented.
We've had that situation, and it really sucks for the first team. There's no question. I want to ask you about Ryan Tannehill. So that's the guy I was talking about. So how do we look at Ryan Tannehill's? Because we got a lot of people say he was a bust here. And I go, I don't know if he was a bust. Oh, he was a bust, Joe, and just say it. How do you look at Ryan Tannehill's career so far with Miami, and now obviously he's been really good with Tennessee?
I don't know how you call him a bust when he got a second contract in Miami. I think that untimely injuries, especially the low hit that he took from Calais Campbell in the 2016 season that partially tore the ACL, the fateful decision not to have the ACL repaired. Yeah. Remember that?
That was a bad decision.
And they thought, well, you know, we'd rather have him with a partially torn ACL. A lot of guys have partially torn ACLs. We'd rather have that than him playing on a reconstructed ACL. And then what's he do early in training camp 2017? There goes the ACL. I think that really kept him from reaching his full potential with the Dolphins. And, you know, right now, hey, he's top half of the league. It's hard to say he's top 10 because one thing I've learned about flagging top 10 quarterbacks, if you do that for every quarterback in the league, you end up with 20 top 10 quarterbacks. I'd say he's top half.
I agree.
And really, the contract that he got last year as a free agent to stay in Tennessee, the cash flow over the first 4 years, better than Patrick Mahomes, better than Deshaun Watson. And he'll be in position after three more seasons to either do another deal or move on. And he's a guy who can keep going. He can keep playing, and he's played really well in Tennessee. Who knows? Maybe he's the guy who ends up being the future quarterback in Atlanta once his contract ends in Tennessee. He goes and unites with Arthur Smith for the third act of his career.
Hey, Mike, real quickly, too, speaking of quarterbacks, we did this morning, and we'll just let you jump in on it. Of these five quarterbacks everybody's talking about, which one scares you the most that could be a bust? Trey Lance, Mac Jones, Fields, Trevor Lawrence, or Zach Wilson?
I guess, I hate to do that.
I know.
I think you always have to at least be a little bit leery about the level of competition. So from Trey Lance, I'd want to see it against NFL talent before I'd say, you know, this is the guy. And he didn't play but one game last year. He was great the year before that. And I think that's the toughest part of scouting, is to project NFL talent when the caliber of the opponent you're facing isn't there. I remember when Geno Smith, who ultimately was a second-round pick of the Jets in 2013, when he was entering the draft, the GM told me, you know, because he was coming off of a year where he had like 25 touchdown passes and no interceptions the first five games of the season. He was in the Heisman conversation. They played Maryland in that stretch. And a GM said to me, you know, if Maryland had a free safety that was worth a damn, he'd have thrown three interceptions that game. And see, that's part of what the scouting process is about, projecting performance against lesser talent when it's time to face better talent. And Deshaun Watson, I remember one of the concerns about him, turnovers, completion percentage. Well, what happened with him was, and this is the thing that's unknowable until you get to the NFL, when the windows got smaller at the NFL level, his throws became more accurate because they had to be. There's no test for that. There's no drill for that. There's no way to know that that's the way the guy's going to respond when you bring him up to the next level. That's why it's so hard to figure out who's going to be great, who's not going to be great, because you don't know until you're out there competing with NFL caliber players.
Right. Well, Mike, you said it a couple of weeks back here on a Friday morning that once the gambling stuff starts to happen with the NFL, once they start partnering with people, everything will change in the NFL. I think it started yesterday, right? At least the first step in getting this done and getting it done around the NFL and making these teams a ton of money. Was it an unprecedented day yesterday for the NFL? Was it a big day? Was it step one? What was yesterday for the NFL partnering with the three sports books?
It wasn't step one, but it's definitely not the last step. It's just part of the migration toward it. Isn't it odd that they've got three official sports books?
Yes, I thought that. Yes, I agree.
You know, think about that. Yep. It's not like, hey, Bud Light, Coors Light, and Michelob Light, the official Light beers of the National Football League.
Right.
We're going to let you all
in. Here's what everyone wants. You know, my wife and I were out on the highway a week or so ago, and there was a billboard that we saw. It was the BetMGM app, and it said they're the official gambling partners of the Steelers. And my wife said, why would they do that? It's like, well, because if you can attach yourself to that brand, it gives you legitimacy. It gives you customer base. It gives you cachet. And, you know, eventually what's going to happen is when you go to NFL.com, when you go to Dolphins.com, when you go to any property owned and operated by NFL organizations, there's going to be a button there that you push, and it's going to take you right to the sports book. And the odds are going to be there. And hey, you know, I want to bet on this. I want to bet on that. And it's all going to be easy. It's all going to be simple. And they're going to have very efficient mechanisms for separating you from your money. And even though the NFL will, and it's just amazing how far it's come. It was just 5 or 6 years ago when they shut down Tony Romo's fantasy football convention in Las Vegas. And it wasn't even happening in a casino. It was in a convention center with no gambling on the premises, but the convention center was owned by a casino. And we are going to do it. And they wouldn't even do an exhibition game in Las Vegas 6 or 7 years ago. But once the Supreme Court legitimized the spread of gambling legally, key to shining sea, and I think we're up to 26 states now. I think the max number will be 44, and we'll get there. It's too much money for the NFL to turn up its nose at. And they've embraced it. It's going to continue. And someone told me not that long ago that these teams that currently are, you know, worth $2-3 billion, the normal team, the average team, the random team, not the Cowboys, but the average team is going to be worth between $8 and $10 billion before too long because of gambling.
Wow, just the gambling part. What could you see the cap being at some point, someday? Where could we see the salary cap? I know it went down a little bit last year. Where could you see it over the next few years with all this money coming in, new TV contract as well as gambling?
Well, you know, for as much as some in the media love to criticize the NFLPA, they have gotten this thing to the point where they split the money, and the money's going to pour in. The salary cap was something like $43 million or thereabouts when they first started it in the mid-1990s, and it was kissing $200 million before the pandemic set it back to $182. It's going to keep going up and up and up and up and up. I mean, it was going up $10 million a year every year from 2013 through 2020. I suspect it's going to start going up $20-25 million a year once they get this pandemic behind them. And, you know, here's the key. Here's the moment when the money explodes, and we may have talked about this before, but it bears repeating. They have the technology. They just have to find a way to efficiently and effectively implement it, where when you're watching a game at home, what you see on the TV is exactly what's happening in that moment. So the same 40 seconds that the fans in the stands have between plays to bet on what's coming next, you have that opportunity to do it on your phone. That technology is out there.
It's crazy.
It's just a matter of making it available on a mass scale, having enough states where betting is legal to make it worth your while. But can you imagine that? Sitting at home, watching Monday Night Football, and, you know, it's a buck here, it's a buck there. It's just a little skin in the game just for fun. What's the next play going to be? Well, the odds are it's going to be a run. Well, I'm going to go pass. Simple as that. Or is it going to be a first down? Or is it going to be a touchdown? What's the chance this drive is going to be a touchdown? What's the chance it's going to be a turnover on the next play? I mean, it's kind of like, it's the best example I can think of. When you're at a craps table and you look down at that fella and there's all those options of where you can drop your chips on any given roll of the dice. Every play is a roll of the dice, and you're going to have basically a craps table menu of things you can do between plays. And you know what? You could develop some sort of a weird craps-style game. I'd never thought
right.
of that.
Yeah.
But couldn't you?
That's a good point.
Couldn't you do something
yes.
like that where you know, the first roll and then, you know, whatever yardage they gain on the play. I don't know. You could come up with something like that that's completely disconnected from scoring points, gaining yards, winning games. Just some number that emerges from that play ends up being the number that drives that game that you play. The possibilities are limitless, and the NFL knows it. And this billion-dollar industry, I don't know if it's going to happen in our lifetime, but it's going to be a trillion-dollar industry before you know it.
Oh, God, Mike. Yep. That's unbelievable. Hey, Mike, we got to let you run. Thank you so much, man. Great stuff today. Really appreciate it. Have a good weekend. It's about ready to get real busy.
You guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. All right, that's Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline.
All right, Zach, we got a little bit of time here, so we're going to go to a break. We come back, we'll check in on the undefeated text machine, 305-567-0560. Back in a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.